Thank you for drawing people to yourself this morning. And thank you for being in our midst. We worship you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Wave your hands and give the Lord the praise. Can you help me welcome three people to God's presence and tell them you are welcome? You are welcome. You are welcome. You are welcome. You are welcome. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise as you take your seat. Praise God. One more time, for those who we are meeting for the first time, we bring you greetings from the nation of Uganda. We had a most exciting time in Uganda, and we give the Lord the praise. This morning we shall be speaking on the theme of the month, which is taking charge through wisdom. Taking charge through wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 15 and 16. It said, "By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the nobles of the earth, even all the judges of the earth." The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. First of all, we want to understand how wisdom causes people to take charge. And secondly, hopefully there will be time to understand what wisdom is. By way of introduction, wisdom is a force that puts people in charge in life. Say, "By me, kings reign, and princes decree justice." Wisdom brings dominion. Occasions dominion. And we're going to look at examples in scriptures of men and women that were positioned by wisdom, in charge. Example number one, Joseph took charge of the affairs of Egypt by the operation of wisdom. Genesis 41, verse 39 to verse 44. "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all of these, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall my people be judged." According to thy word. "Thou shalt be over my house. According to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." Somebody here this morning shall be positioned by wisdom. If you are the one, say louder, amen. That was Joseph. Took charge of the affairs of Egypt. Number two example, David. In 1 Samuel chapter 18 and in verse 5. The Bible said concerning David. "And David went whithersoever Saul sent him, and he behaved himself wisely." What was the outcome? You see the colon there. That's the consequence. He behaved himself wisely. The outcome of that was that Saul set him over the men of war. Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people. Saul set him. Wisdom sets people over others. The wise will rule over the rest. Say that again. The wise will rule over the rest. The wise will take charge over the rest. And the fool will remain under subjection permanently. He behaved himself wisely, and Saul placed him over the men of war. There is another consequence of that that we'll look at later on. Wisdom puts men in charge. And the third example was Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 23, all the way to verse 24. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. And as they came, they brought their vessels, spices, vessels of silver and vessels of gold and garments and armor and spices, horses and mules, a rate year by year. So Solomon was a king in the Old Testament that became the king of other kings. The kings of other nations went to submit themselves to Solomon. They submitted to his counsel. They submitted to his direction. They submitted to him because he operated at the frequency of wisdom. Leaders will lead other leaders by wisdom. Leaders lead leaders by wisdom. Managers manage other managers by wisdom. The leadership program we had in Uganda, so we had two nights of crusade, one morning of pastors' conference, and one morning of leaders' conference. That leaders' conference we had, the minister of Kampala was there. Minister of Gender Affairs was there. We had ambassador from Ethiopia that is covering Eritrea and covering South Sudan and covering Uganda was there. We had the deputy governor of the Ugandan bank. And then several others were there. The man, the pastor, Kayanja, who was the grand person for that program, he told me, now it came on the national newspaper headline the next day. The woman in the middle there is a minister of Kampala. She's not a Christian. She said when she came, she thought that she would be hearing so much about Bible and Jesus Christ and everything. And she didn't know how she was going to cope through. But now she was hearing raw leadership out of the Bible. She said, people, can you tell me, am I doing well, please? See, all of you, please tell me. I just saw what leadership is all about. Are we doing well? The pastor said, I can tell you, this is the first time in our country they are hearing a thing like this. He said, they have done Harvard and they have done here and there, but they haven't heard it as clear, pungent and impactful as this for the first time. I didn't import it from anywhere. Raw Bible. It wasn't pulled out from anywhere. It wasn't a matter of any book. Raw Bible, Nehemiah leadership principle. Do you understand what I'm talking about? He said we have to be back in November. That's what he's saying. He's asking. Solomon led until he began to lead other leaders. I see the leader of leaders here today. If you are among them, shout the loudest, say amen. If you are among them, shout the loudest, say amen. If you are among them, shout the loud most, say amen. Lift your hands and say in the name of Jesus, I receive the grace to step into leadership. Now, very, very quickly, how does wisdom causes a person to take charge? I'll identify two of them this service and then a third one in the second service. Number one, the Bible said wisdom is better than weapons of war. That is Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and in verse 18. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. So wisdom will do what weapons won't do. So wisdom will do what weapons won't do. Strategy will do what strength won't do. So you win wars and take charge by wisdom. I said some time ago that wars may be fought with weapons, but they are won by wisdom. You fight wars with weapons, but you win wars by wisdom. And to win the war is to take charge. To win the war, whether it's spiritual warfare, financial warfare, whatever kind of war, when you win the war, you take charge. Secondly, wisdom brings favor. And favor puts people in charge. When the man is wise, he is favored. That was the second aspect of David's wisdom in 1 Samuel chapter 18 verse 5. That David went whithersoever Saul sent him, and he behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war. That's number one. The wisdom put him in charge. Number two, he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and in the sight of, and also in the sight of Saul's servant. Wisdom brings acceptance. Wisdom will break down prejudice. It will break down prejudice. It will break down the favoritisms and all that. It gives you favor. And what will favor do for you? Favor puts you in charge. Esther chapter 2 verse 15. The Bible says Esther obtained favor in the sight of all. Now when the turn of Esther came, daughter of Abihail, she required nothing. That again was wisdom. But what the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women appointed, she required nothing. She was wise enough not to be extravagant and be flamboyant. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all of them that looked upon her. And the king set her, made her queen instead of Vashti. Show me a wise man, I will show you a favored man. Show me a foolish man, I will show you a disfavored man. Most people who are fighting disfavor are actually battling on wisdom. On wisdom. On wisdom. Unwise. They are unwise, so they lack favor. Show me an employee that is wise. It will attract the favor of the boss. I preached a message some time ago and in the book, Career and Workplace Wisdom. One of our officers in this church, a member of this church, is applying that wisdom in her workplace. It has catapulted her to one of the topmost offices in her organization. And they have now paid a 1 week holiday to go and rest for working well in Paris. Just 1 week, just calm down your head. Change climate. All right? So we went to New York and a young lady came to pick us at the airport. Myself and Dr. Mr. Nature. That was the first time I preached on this subject. Say, go and ask your employer, your boss. Ask him, is there any way you can make work easier for him? So she came, picked us and was with us for 1 week. So we asked her, we said, well, how are you free to work with us? You need to, in America, you have to work anything, you have to earn everything. She said, yes, her boss in the office gave her 1 week off. Say, how? He said, because she's such an asset as an employee that she went to her boss in the office and asked her three questions. Is there anything I'm doing you don't want me to do? Is there any way I can make the work easier for you? And is there anything I am not doing that you would like me to do? The man said, I wish it was another person asking me this question. For you, there is nothing you are doing that I don't want you. Every question you are asking is no. You are doing very well. So when she came and said, I need to attend to my pastor and his wife, he said, granted. Naturally, favor is attracted where wisdom is operated. What I say? What did I say? What I say? Favor is attracted where wisdom is operated. Even in the home. Husband and wife. A foolish woman, the Bible said, teareth down her home. But a wise one buildeth it up. I mean, you can secure natural favor. Husbandal favor. Every wise woman builded her house, but the foolish one teared it down. So the favor is not there. Husband doesn't want to come home because he's coming to meet quarrel at home. We'll talk about that another time. But I see favor coming for somebody. If you are that one, you say louder, amen. If you are the one, your amen will be loudest. Lift your hands and say, Father, I receive favor at the frequency of wisdom. I receive it now in Jesus' precious name. Having said all of this, the question is, what is wisdom? If we answer this question, then we are through with the service this morning. Number one, wisdom is profitable action. Action that bring gain or profit. Wisdom is profitable action. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and in verse 10. He said, if the iron be blunt and it does not sharpen the edge, he must put more strength. But wisdom is profitable. Wisdom is profitable action. And foolishness is unprofitable action. Foolishness is action that brings losses or decrease. Wisdom brings gain or profit. There are things that people do and they keep losing. One young girl was in a relationship, and that was a fifth relationship. And the same thing has made her to lose all the five relationships. Unbearable temper. One of that, those times, young man and her was in the car. And I think she was driving and lost her temper so much that the young man begged, please stop, 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 stop. And stopped, he opened the car and stepped out. And that was the end of both the journey and the relationship. By that explosive temper that cost her five relationships. Anything that costs you losses is the bankruptcy of wisdom. Losses in business, losses, loss of relationships, loss of opportunities is the bankruptcy of wisdom. You know a wise man not by their talk, but by their walk, by the action, by what they do, and the things they do that bring profit and gain. In the village at times you see an old man, he comes and say one word. Everyone says, that is a wise man. No, sir, not necessarily. It's a wise talk. But wisdom is a matter of walk, not talk. Because there are many people who talk, who don't walk the talk. I hear what I'm saying here today. So don't over-celebrate what you know. Don't over-celebrate what you say. Celebrate what you do. The difference between most of us is not what we know, because most of us know the same thing. We hear the same things in church and in class. The difference between us is not what we know. The difference between most of us is not even what we say. The difference between most of us is what we do. Wisdom is profitable action. So from this moment, that is why most times, please take your seat. Most times when we preach, we talk about action points. This is what we have said and this is what to do. It doesn't matter what you know. If what to do is not clear to you, wisdom has not yet been assessed. It doesn't matter what you know. What is wisdom? Number two, wisdom is valuable decision making. Valuable decision making. Knowing the choice to make within a given set of options or alternatives. Knowing what choice to make within a given set of options or alternatives has to do with wisdom. It is valuable decision making, knowing the choice to make within a given set of options, a given set of alternatives. Jesus needed to feed 5,000 men beside women and children in Matthew, in John chapter 6, verse 6, the Bible said. And this he said to prove them, for himself knew what he will do. There were many things he could do, but he knew what to do. Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 16, he says, stand in the ways and ask, which one is the right way? Which one is the right way? Which one is the right way? So this is what I'll say in summary of this. Making the right decision most of the time is wisdom. Because if I say all of the time, there are times where people will assume. Making the right decision most of the time. Most of the time is wisdom. Making the wrong decision most of the time is what constitutes foolishness. Do you understand? You made 10 decisions. 8 of them were bad. Business decisions, relationship decisions, relocation decision. You made 10 decisions. 8 were bad. 9 were bad. Some, all of it were wrong. It's the lack of wisdom. Somebody was telling me the other day, she's planning to attend somebody's wedding. But how she wishes that wedding does not hold. Because of the signs. Because of the handwriting on the wall that the girl cannot see. Sharp girl. From a good family background. Affluent family. Brought her up well. Sharp. First class medical doctor brain. Is now marrying a man. When we say what is the man's work, they are not sure what he does. But that is not the challenge. Not the major challenge. Is now talking down on this girl. It was her friend who was telling us the story. That they all went out to an event, or okay, for a dinner or something. And while they were talking, this man was permanently talking down this girl. She said something, she said, oh no, you're not that smart. You don't really make good decisions. You're not that smart. Her friend said, no, sir. She is very smart. I know her. Most of her decisions are right. But the girl cannot see it. She gave a hint, and her friend stopped talking to her for almost 2 months. Are you sure of this man? Are you sure of this man? And they are headed towards wedding. That was why she said she wishes the wedding does not hold, because she sees how it will end. That is not wisdom. Seeing a hole and entering inside is not bravery. That is stupidity. It's not wisdom. So begin to assess the decisions of your life. Maybe in the last 1 month, 1 year, 10 years, you made this decision, you made that. How many of them are you proud of? Wisdom. Wisdom is where you make valuable decisions, knowing the choice to make within a given set of options or alternatives. And you trust God to make the right decisions consistently, most of the time. Hallelujah. A wise man will make 8 out of 10 decisions and they are good. 9. An unwise person may be 1 or none at all. That will never be your portion. Can somebody say loud amen? Number 4, and that is why before the month is over, we are going to look at exactly what brings about wisdom. How to be able to walk in wisdom. Very important. Number 3, wisdom is the application of the revelation of the word. That's one of the channels of wisdom. Is the application of the revelation of the word of God. The application of the revelation of the word of God. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, he said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. You hear the sayings, you do them, you are wise. Wisdom is the application of the revelation of the word of God. So wisdom is applied revelation. Applied. You know mathematics? Applied mathematics. Applied physics. What they call hydrodynamics is applied mathematics. Movement of the fluids and all of that. Applied. So wisdom is applied revelation. Access to revelation of the word of God alone is not wisdom. You access the revelation of the word of God, it's not wisdom. That could be head knowledge, but not wisdom. Ability to quote many scriptures is not necessarily wisdom. It is the application of the same. Applied revelation. Papa Yedeko said, someone said some time ago, what is he preaching that we are not preaching? Why is our result not the same? What is he preaching that we are not preaching? And he said, it is not what we are preaching that differentiates us. It's what we are practicing. It's not in the preaching, it's in the practices. Hallelujah. So that is wisdom. Apply revelation. Next time you are in touch with the word, don't just look for scripture to quote. Don't just look for scripture to cram. Just don't look for scripture to brag with. Look for scriptures to apply. Find out what the scripture wants you to do and apply. It's wisdom. Number 4. Wisdom is solution provision capability. The capability to provide solutions is wisdom. Ability and capability to provide generational solutions is wisdom. that is solving problems, answering questions, is wisdom. We read that in Genesis chapter 41, verse 39 to verse 44. How Pharaoh said, can we find a man as wise as this that has the spirit of the Holy Ghost? It's wisdom. Not only can fools not solve problems, most times they are the problems. You heard what I said, and you heard it very. They are the most times they are the ones that need to be solved. They, as a person, you need to solve them. I remember talking to a young man some time ago. You will never see any reason. When you say this, it comes from the opposite side. You say this, it comes from the opposite side. It couldn't be solved. The man could not be solved. Age 53 now. No, almost homeless. Wife is not in the equation. Couldn't be solved. Do you understand what I'm saying? But when you are a wise man, by the message of God, you don't only solve your own issues. You have the capacity God given, and we shall be looking at this shortly, to solve generational problems like Joseph, to provide generational solutions. God is stepping somebody there. Can I declare to someone this morning, people that will be answers to this nation are hearing the sound of my voice right now. People that will be answers to the questions of their nations are hearing the sound of my voice here this morning. If you believe it, shout the loudest, amen. And can I say something to you? You cannot remain in the arena of problems and solutions at the same time. You can't remain in the arena of problems and solutions at the same time. If you deploy yourself into the arena of solution, you escape the arena of problems. That is, you may have problems today, but you are busy with solutions. That was what happened to Joseph. Being a prisoner is a problem. Amen. It's a challenge. But he was busy offering solutions in the prison. He was busy offering solutions. He was busy distributing joy. He was busy lifting burdens. He was busy interpreting their dreams. He was busy giving them answers. And by consistently doing that, he escaped the question of the prison. He escaped that arena of problems. You cannot be given solutions and be buried in problems. Most times the devil wants us to focus on the problems until the problems multiply. Why will you go on evangelism when you are not yet married? People will be laughing at you that church is what you are doing. Where is husband? Why will you care about what is happening to the other person when you cannot even pay your own house rent? Somebody is coming to ask you, give me transport money. You don't have house rent. The devil will just make you focus on this. Whatever problem you have, whatever challenge you have, to the detriment of your soul. And whatever you focus on will magnify, will multiply. But you now ignore the problem you are in and behave as if it's not there and begin to reach out to answering questions in the kingdom, providing solutions for your loved ones and family. And just in a short while, you realize that you escaped. You escaped. You cannot be given solutions and remaining problems at the same time. One day, after we married very newly, myself and my wife married newly, it's under 1 year. And I was preaching at that time already. there was this shoe that I bought. I liked the shoe very well. I've told you the story before. I liked the shoe very well. But the shoe was smaller than my leg. It was a little bit smaller than my leg. But I wanted to wear the shoe. You know how children behave? When you buy them Christmas shoe, no matter what, it's oversized, you must wear it. And if the shoe is bigger than your leg, you walk funny. And if the shoe is smaller than your leg, you also walk funny. So this was the type that was my case. I was wearing Agbada. When I reached the altar to preach, that was when I realized that I made the worst mistake. At that stage, I was wondering, should I pull the shoe and just preach on barefoot? Because it was unbearable. Now, what will the people think? What happened to this young man? He just married. Any challenge? I didn't pray. I just looked and said, you know what? I just focused on the people and started preaching with fire. I don't know if the fire fired the pain or something. But suddenly, I was unaware that my shoe was tight. I moved freely, preached for about 1 hour, 1.5 hours. By the time I said, let's stand up and pray. Let's give it. You want to give your life? At that time, as I was rounding up, the shoe reminded me. He said, I am still here. And my size has not increased. And then, that was how I summarized and then arranged my life out of that place. I learned a valuable lesson that I'm telling you now that day. That face solution and you won't be conscious of problems. It will appear like it doesn't exist. Just be answering questions for others. Just don't let any situation of your life make you to focus on yourself. Just face the people. Focus on the people. In the year was in 1992. I was preaching to medical students at the Ilorin Youth Center. That is 33 years ago. I was feverish. I was shaking. I was on the grass to preach. I can't forget the message I preached that day. The rod of his strength. Psalm 110 verse 3. The Lord will raise the rod of his strength out of Zion. And by the time it was time to preach, it was impossible for me to even think of moving. Body was racking with pain. I was shivering literally. You know what I said? I said, just let me get there. If I have to lie down on the altar, just bring the microphone close to my mouth. I will preach. By the time I stepped on that altar, and I was about to minister, bam, as if an electricity electrocuted the infirmity. It took off back to hell. I will never forget that message. I won't forget that service. Doctors today, professors everywhere around the world who were in that meeting will never forget it. It was raw fire impartation. People were under power, like you know the kind of thing we saw in area one until we reduce a bit. When you say receive and everybody is falling under, all the plastic chairs are disappearing. So they have to receive slowly. Hallelujah. That the matter disappeared, and I'm not conscious of whether that affliction returned back after stepping on that altar to minister to others. Just deploy yourself, and that is wisdom, into the arena of solution. Just begin to think now of what to begin to do, how to enhance someone's life or your nation or your community or the church or begin and don't let the devil leave you with yourself in frustration and in depression and in discouragement. You will realize that in a short while you just escaped the arena. Please take your seat of problems. and you have stepped into the arena of solutions. Finally, wisdom is access to the mind, the ways and thought of God. You have access to the mind of God, access to the ways of God, access to the thought of God. Isaiah chapter 55 and in verse 8 to verse 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That is God speaking. The thought of God is what? And the ways of God makes God. The thoughts of man makes man. When you have access to the mind of God, and that's the wisdom of God, to the ways of God, and to the thoughts of God, you are operating at the wisdom of God. When people are cut off from the way God thinks, they are cut off from the way God does things, they walk in foolishness. When you connect with the ways of God, how will Jesus, what will Jesus, you know that acronym, or what is it? WWJD. What will Jesus do? What would God want me to do? What does the word of God want say about this? When you walk and live in that realm, you live in the realm of wisdom. Today, I believe somebody is stepping into the realm of wisdom. And if you are that person, say aloud, amen. We're going to continue beyond this in subsequent services on what it takes to access wisdom. But Job chapter 28, verse 28, gives us something about wisdom. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil, that is understanding. The fear of the Lord is not just the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is wisdom directly. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil, that is understanding. Psalm 111 also, and in verse 10, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and good understanding. Have all they that do his commandments, his praise endureth forever. I welcome you to the frequency of the fear of the Lord. I like us to begin to walk consciously in the fear of the Lord. Reverence for God. Value for God. Not taking God for granted or his instructions for granted. And we will see wisdom like never before. Somebody is blessed, say amen. Who is that person that is blessed this morning? Stand up on your feet and let's give the Lord the praise. Give the Lord the praise. Give the Lord the praise. Wave your hands and give him the praise. Give him the honor for his word to you this morning. Father, we thank you. Adonai, we thank you. We worship you. We adore you. We magnify you. We magnify you. We magnify you. Go ahead and give him the praise. Lift up your voice. Father, we worship you. Adonai, we worship you. Would you lift your hands and say, Father, thank you. We worship you. We honor you. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name. Again, say, Father, thank you for your word to my life this morning. I receive the grace to walk in the light of this word. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Give the Lord the praise.